National Catholic Register. This is Register Radio, bringing light and clarity to the news and topics that affect your life.
As was much anticipated, Pope Leo XIV has released his first encyclical, Magnifica Humanitas, on safeguarding the human person in the face of artificial intelligence. This week on Register Radio, Register Managing Editor Jonathan Liedl and Register Staff Writer Jonah McKeown give us their analysis. And then, what do Gen Zs think of AI? We're joined by Register Staff Writer Gigi Duncan and Will Dethridge, CEO of Catholics for Hire, LLC. Hello, I'm Matthew Bunsen, Vice President and Editorial Director of UWTN News and host of Register Radio. As always, with my co-host, Shannon Mullen, Editor-in-Chief of the National Catholic Register. How are you, Shannon?
Very good, Matthew.
Well, we've used the word AI a lot over the last month or so in anticipation of the encyclical.
Yes, and probably in the past 4 or 5 days, we've doubled that.
Exactly. Well, as I was just saying, in the first encyclical of his pontificate, Pope Leo XIV has issued a call for the world to come together and confront the immense challenges and opportunities of AI and other emerging technologies that threaten the human person and the pursuit of the common good. In a 42,000-word document and 245 paragraphs, the Pope offers the world a stark choice between building a new Tower of Babel or a Jerusalem in which God and humanity dwell together, as the Pope writes. To give us their takes on Magnifica Humanitas, we're joined by Register Managing Editor Jonathan Liedl and Register Staff Writer Jonah McKeown. Welcome to both of you.
Thanks for having us.
Well, there was an immense amount of anticipation for this document, so I'll start with both of you, starting with you, Jonathan. Did this live up to the hype and your own expectations?
Yeah, well, I think it really depends on what you were looking for from this encyclical. I think it got out in the ether that this was an AI encyclical, right? And so I think a lot of people thought it would be sort of an exhaustive treatment of what AI is, what it isn't. And then also, you know, oftentimes Catholics sometimes want like a clear list of do's and don'ts, like, you know, questions related to AI to generate sacred art and all these kinds of very practical questions. But I think the Vatican, and maybe sensing that's what people were thinking in the lead up to the launch, tried to make clear that this was an encyclical really first and foremost about humanity and safeguarding humanity in a time of AI. So I think, you know, what I've seen from reactions so far, kind of just looking at headlines and you know, major national publications, on the one hand, you have people who say, you know, who called it an anti-AI manifesto, right? And then on the other hand, you have people who have said, because, you know, the Pope consulted or at least invited people like Christopher Ola with Anthropic to the presentation, that this was too easy on AI. So different people are kind of looking at it in those different ways. I think, you know, for Catholics, what I would say is this, and this is actually something Jonah has pointed out before in his reporting, is that this encyclical is compared a lot to Rerum Novarum by Pope Leo XIII. And that was addressing the Industrial Revolution, the sort of social, human consequences of that. But Pope Leo XIII wrote that 50 years after, you know, Karl Marx wrote the Communist Manifesto, right? So that was an encyclical after something had already played out over decades. In this case, ChatGPT launched only 4 years ago, right? So Pope Leo the 14th is attempting to weigh in on something at the very outset on it. So I don't know if, you know, we should be looking for this document to be the end all be all and everything that could be said about AI and how Catholics should think about it. But perhaps instead it's more of the beginning of a conversation, right? The Pope laying out principles and an orientation that Catholics can carry forward in their own discernment and, you know, use of AI or non-use.
Yeah. Jonah?
Right. I think Jonathan said it really well, that this document, even though it has obviously a lot to say specifically about AI, was far, far broader than that. It was really laying a groundwork, especially in its opening sections, where the Pope really lays out a really quite exhaustive view of, you know, what is Catholic social teaching and how are we called as Catholics to dynamically respond to, you know, new things that pop up like AI. And as you mentioned in the introduction, Matthew, Pope Leo really lays out very specific criteria of discernment that should really guide any human endeavor. And obviously building AI is something that kind of humanity is doing, a huge and very important project that humanity is in many ways doing together. And it's exactly the kind of thing that needs Christ at the center. I mean, all of our human projects need Christ at the center, as Pope Leo points out. But yeah, it's really, AI is obviously a huge topic of our time. And this is, this is the reason that Pope Leo has chosen to frame much of his encyclical around it. But this is a document, I mean, obviously 42,000 words, 200 something paragraphs. It's going to take us a long time to unpack the implications of everything in this document. And it really will, I think if we can take Pope Leo's words to heart, not just on the shaping of AI, but all of our human projects, as he says, building a civilization of love, I think we will all be better off for it.
Yeah, Jonah, right now it's AI all the time, right? But I think what's one of the things that's interesting about the document is, what will the next big challenge be for the world after we kind of get through this AI moment? Who knows? But the first half of the document, for sure, would still apply, right? Because these are sort of fundamental principles of how the church views humanity, views the world, really. So I thought that was interesting. I just wanted to interject just for a second, because I know there's some specific things we want to get into. But if we could very briefly, one of the things that we're trying to do with the Register is unpack this document, but also to encourage ordinary Catholics to read it. Jonah, we'll start with you. What can you say to readers or to listeners who have not yet looked at this document? Is it really hard to access and to understand? What's your quick take that you would give to encourage people to look into it?
Right. Well, I think my thought there goes to kind of what Jonathan was saying earlier, that if you're looking to this document as a list of do's and don'ts, and is the Pope telling you not to use AI? Is he telling you to use AI? You're going to maybe not be disappointed, but you're going to find that that's not what the document is. So I think it might be helpful for readers to understand again, kind of what the structure of the document is, mm-hmm. that Pope Leo has given us. And again, if readers aren't necessarily very versed in what Catholic social teaching is, the first section of the document will be a very helpful overview, especially of what popes have said in the last 135 years since Pope Leo XIII put out Rerum Novarum. And then certainly later on in the document, there's some discussion of AI specifically and the issues there. A lot of that is kind of, policy recommendations for those who are shaping AI. But also the Pope talks a huge amount about our personal responsibility, each of us as Catholics, and also as educators, as parents, carers of young people. So that would be a very helpful section for people as well. And then kind of the last part of the document really is a beautiful meditation on how the Catholic faith in Christ can really speak to this moment. And the very last section of the document really talks about how Mary is a model of how to respond to this kind of AI moment. So I do certainly encourage people to read it. It's not an easy read and not a quick read, but certainly you would be far better off, maybe like I did, printing out the document, highlighting sections, rather than, certainly better than letting AI read it for you and summarize it. Maybe even better.
Oh, the irony, right?
than some of the news reports we've seen, although the Register's news reports are an exception to that.
Yeah, I just to chime in on that, I think Jonah's exactly right, because I really think, like, yes, it is a long document, and the reality is, you know, everyone might not be able to devote the time to read 42,000 words. But if you're going to read a summary, read it from someone who has read the whole document, right, and who is approaching the document through the eyes of faith. Like, it's really sad. I've seen some coverage out there who say, you know, like from secular entities or even entities that cover religious news, and the five takeaways, right? And they're all just very practical about, like, public policy and things like that. And there are real public policy implications of this teaching from the Holy Father. But it is fundamentally a religious document. Jonah talked about the ending reflecting, including this beautiful reflection upon Mary and how Mary's humility, her yes, shows the magnificence of humanity, because we're magnificent not because we can do everything on our own, but because we depend and receive from God. And I think, like, the document, to me, really is a beautiful articulation, right, of the human person and our relationship with God. It's as much about the false idol of technology overall than it is specifically about AI, right? This idea that we can use technology to sort of extend our life forever, to overcome all natural limitations. And it's really a clarion call to say, like, no, actually, limitations are good. Like, you know, trusting the way that God has created us as an invitation to relationship with Him is actually the only way that we truly transcend limits. And so I think there, you know, you can kind of go wrong in two different ways. You can simply treat the document, you know, as sort of a policy document, and then you're missing out on all the supernatural foundation and really how that can form you if you read it prayerfully. And at the same time, I think it's true that you can ignore the sort of practical implications that the Pope is attempting to highlight with the real challenge of AI right now, given what we know about the truth of who we are as human beings, created the image and likeness of God, called to communion. What does that mean about how we should deal with AI in our daily lives? So it's kind of a both end.
Yeah, and for anyone who is interested in a beautiful summary of the development of Catholic social thought and its key principles, the pillars of it, those first chapters really are very impressive, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean, Leo definitely sees himself as continuing this sort of tradition that that his namesake, Leo XIII, inaugurated 135 years ago.
Yeah. Well, thank you both. I look forward to your ongoing coverage, and I know that the Register has a ton of beautiful, insightful analyses and commentaries on this new encyclical. You can find all of that at ncregister.com. Well, you're listening to Register Radio here on EWTN Radio. When we come back, we talk with staff writer Gigi Duncan on Gen Z's and what they think of AI. We're joined by Gigi and Will Dethridge, CEO of Catholics for Hire, to assess all of it. Stay tuned to Register Radio.
Let's return to Register Radio on EWTN.
And welcome back. I'm Matthew Bunsen here, as always, with Shannon Mullen, editor-in-chief of the National Catholic Register. Well, one of the concerns expressed by Pope Leo XIV in his new encyclical on AI is the impact it is having and will continue to have on young people. That concern is well-founded. Register staff writer Gigi Duncan writes in her newest piece for the Register that, quote, as AI rapidly reshapes the economy, many members of Gen Z are entering adulthood with uncertainty about work, stability, and the future. What do Gen Z, and for that matter, Gen Alpha, think of AI? What are the threats it poses to their future? To talk about that, we're joined by Register staff writer Gigi Duncan and Will Dethridge, CEO of Catholics for Hire. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
Well, let's start with you, Will, if we can. I'd love your just immediate take on this new encyclical by Pope Leo XIV.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Happy to comment on that. So, you know, for my background, I run a company, Catholics for Hire. We do digital marketing for about 50 or so organizations across the country. So all my contractors specialize in design and marketing. They're very much impacted by AI, and a lot of folks in my generation are in industries that involve technology very heavily. So I found it very fitting that his first encyclical tackled this issue that's very relevant to my generation, particularly the parts that are concerned with unemployment. There's obviously a huge rise in anxiety not just among folks in my company, but also in the broader Catholic community. A lot of people I talk to are very anxious about their careers, and I was very pleased that Pope Leo chose to address that in the encyclical, for sure. So very happy that he chose to write about it.
Yeah, Gigi?
Yeah, I thought it was interesting that it kind of covered a whole variety of different issues, but yeah, similar to Will's sentiments, reading that section about AI and unemployment and just as, you know, jobs as a means to get income, but it also affects young people in all different kinds of ways. I know Pope Leo mentioned that, you know, jobs help form identity, community, friendships, vocations. And when unemployment is kind of on the rise and, you know, those different factors, I mean, Gen Z is already a very socially disconnected generation, whether it be because of social media, in the aftermath of COVID. So kind of having unemployment on the rise added to all those other problems, yeah, it's really affecting Gen Z. So to hear the Pope actually mention that and to say, you know, we have to kind of counter this, not just as we're losing jobs, but looking to the future, it was really encouraging.
Yeah, and there's a connection. We've talked about this before, Gigi. There's a connection to the faith and the church. You know, we're talking about young people launching or taking that next step in their career. And that's so key to so many things. It's the key to making the kind of commitments to get married, to settle down, to buy a house, to join a parish, to educate your children in the faith. The family is still the primary means of transmitting the faith from one generation to the next. Your piece, Gigi, begins with an interview you did with a young woman, Alexis Powers. You say she applied for more than 200 jobs after graduating college. That really speaks to the AI moment for a lot of young people. What did you hear from the folks that you talked to about?
Yeah, just kind of this common occurrence of applying to hundreds of jobs and not hearing back from a single one for an interview. And, you know, that could be because of this fear that AI is going to be eating up a lot of entry-level jobs. You know, she also particularly mentioned that AI plays a significant role in even companies receiving resumes. If it doesn't match up perfectly with the AI system, you could have all the experience in the world, all the people skills in the world, but your resume will just get tossed to the side. So it seems like at all angles, AI is playing a really big role. And, you know, a lot of the young people I spoke with had differing views. You know, some mentioned that it's actually a tool that's helpful to them in their jobs. But a lot of them, you know, they see all these headlines that are very discouraging. You had the CEO of Anthropic, Dario Amodei, last year saying that AI could have the potential to eliminate nearly half of entry-level white-collar jobs in the next 5 years. So it is a very discouraging, you know, notion that AI is on the rise. We're having a harder time applying to jobs. We're not hearing back from different jobs. But the one hopeful thing I've heard is that even amidst all this uncertainty with AI and tech, that it's really networking and connections that are making the difference in these young people finding employment.
Yeah, Will, can you talk to that? There seems an almost counterintuitive phenomenon happening that one would assume that Gen Z and Gen Alpha, but Gen Z in particular, because they grew up with this technology, that they'd be so comfortable with it. And yet we're seeing something of an opposite reaction. And is it jobs-based? And what are you seeing in terms of that?
Yeah, no, I think it's even broader than just, you know, being jobs-based in the sense that, you know, the other day, for example, I was watching the news and they were running a report on how Gen Z is fueling a rise in people going back to malls in person. I think we've been so steeped in a lot of this technology, especially coming out of the COVID era, where all we had were these screens in front of us. There's this deep longing for community, for real in-person connection. So I don't think it's just an anxiety or disdain young people feel at AI because of what it's doing to the job market. I think that a lot of us who really value and crave that human connection and have been sat in front of screens our whole lives are just really eager to get away from that as much as we can. So I think it's deeper than just being a jobs-based aspect, and it's encouraging. It's encouraging to see young people want to do things in person like that, yeah.
Yeah, it's really impacting a very sense of what it means to be human, isn't it, Gigi?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. It's, again, and that's why I love how Pope Leo mentions that it's not just about income. I mean, that is important. Today's economy isn't great for young people. But again, it also, it's impacting friendships, relationships, how people are formed. Like Shannon mentioned, you know, all of that leads to families. You know, if you're thinking, oh, AI is stealing my all these jobs, you know, I'm having a hard time affording rent, finding, you know, employment, then the last thing on your mind is kind of, oh, well, starting a family and having kids. So I think it, yeah, it really gets to the heart of what it means to be human. So as I said earlier, it's encouraging that Pope Leo not just, you know, mentioned, oh, yeah, their job instability isn't great, but that he went into detail on that. And, yeah, I think, you know, in today's day and age also, a lot of people kind of equate success and fulfillment to, you know, being able to be productive, having professional success, and that's not what, you know, Catholic social teaching shows us in being human. And our dignity is found in being sons and daughters of God, and that should come first and foremost.
Yeah, to your point, Gigi, to quote the Pope from the encyclical, he says, for young people, a job insecurity is particularly devastating. Work is not merely a source of income, but a crucial sphere in which identity is formed, friendships and relationships are forged, practical responsibilities are learned, and one's vocation is discerned. So my question to both of you, and we'll start with you, Will Gen Zers read the document?
I think so. I think we're seeing a huge surge in young Catholics either coming to the church or returning to the church. I think the church is in a unique position to really foster that desire of having, you know, human-to-human connection like that. I think Pope Leo, with this encyclical, has done an incredible job at really leading the mantle where industry leaders and governments around the world don't seem to be acknowledging that internal desire and craving. He's leading the charge there. And I think because of that, because the message is so unique, quite honestly, it's going to resonate with a lot of young folks. And in the aftermath of the document coming out, I've seen it all over the place in media sources I wouldn't have expected. So I do think a lot of young people are going to tune into it. Absolutely.
What do you think, Gigi?
Yeah, I'm hoping that they do read it in its entirety. As we mentioned earlier, it would be very counterintuitive to just throw it in ChatGPT. You know, I know a lot of young people that say, let's ask my friend, let's ask chat. I'm hoping that's not the case in this scenario. But yeah, even some of my friends from college who were math majors, they read through it and they were so excited to hear all these different terminologies and phrases that, oh yeah, this was a math major that wrote this. So I'm hopeful that Gen Z will read the document in its entirety because, as we mentioned earlier, AI isn't the only thing covered. It's the vast history of Catholic social teaching, and it applies to not just AI, but every kind of problem we're facing as a society today.
Yeah, so, Will, let's end on something of a practical question, and that is you are CEO of Catholics for Hire. What advice are you giving to young Gen Zs who are increasingly frustrated? What do they need to be doing right now?
I think one of the things they need to be doing for sure is making sure that their self-worth is centered on, you know, the church's idea of what human dignity is and where it really comes from. As Gigi was saying, your worth is far more than your work. Yes, there's a lot of worth to be found in properly doing work like that. But I think this can be taken as a challenge to refocus our hope in things that really matter, which is ultimately our relationship with God, our relationship with Christ. So I think with that foundation, that's just a winning hand anyway. You slice it like that, and be not afraid. One of the most common phrases in the whole Bible.
Yeah, Gigi, anything, any last comments?
Yeah, you know, obviously things are kind of up in the air concerning AI. It seems, you know, it's not super regulated. There seems to be a bit of fatigue, especially when it comes to data centers and the environmental impact that those have. But yeah, you know, with the number of young people entering the church that kind of surged this past year, I'm hopeful that these, you know, young Gen Z Catholics, despite how difficult things may seem in the economy and the job market, that they remember we are people of hope, and that, yeah, our dignity and our worth, they come from God. They don't come from, you know, whether you apply to 200 jobs and you only hear back from one. Yes, that's difficult, but we are people of hope. We're called to hope. And yeah, looking forward to more insights and more Gen Z reaction specifically to this encyclical as today's day and age continues on.
Yeah, well, thank you both. And Gigi, I know your piece is going to be well read, I think, by a lot of Gen Zs who are interested in looking for work. So thank you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, that's it for Register Radio for this week. Remember, for more news, analysis, and commentary, check out the National Catholic Register online at ncregister.com. Thanks again for joining us here on Register Radio, here on EWTN. Until next week, on behalf of our producer this week, Ace McKay, and Shannon Mullen, I'm Matthew Bunsen. Please take care and God bless.
For more information about the National Catholic Register and about Register Radio, go to ncregister.com. Podcasts of Register Radio are posted on ncregister.com and on ewtn.com. Join us next week at this time for Register Radio on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.